All right, well, if you take your Bible and go to the Gospel of John to start today. I was, what we were praying, I was looking at you all, and I just thought, man, you have no idea how beautiful, maybe you don't have any idea how beautiful you are. And just a sweet savor to our God. Bunch of folks here, hearts that desire him, seeking him together. That's like what he intended, you know. And sometimes life can feel a little routine and, the day-to-day is a lot of work. But you're doing it. You're doing what you've been placed here on this earth to do. You know, and it's a beautiful thing. And God is well pleased with your lives, that you've chosen him. I want to start in John chapter 14, if you turn there with me. Last week we looked at being citizens of heaven, not citizens of this earth. We looked at loving the people on this planet, but not loving the world, right? Paul talked of himself and those with him as ambassadors of Christ. And when we represent him, we're ambassadors for this kingdom, because we're not of this world, right? In John chapter 14, I want to start in verse 8. And these sections, I think most of you are Bible readers and know what these sections say. And they're some of just my personal favorite to go back to. And there's such a tenderness here of the Lord Jesus Christ with his disciples in teaching them and preparing them to receive Holy Spirit. This would come. And so there's such rich application for our lives who have received that Spirit, to go back and listen to the instruction from our very Lord on how to walk in it. Remarkable. And so he's talking with them. Let's just start in verse 1. It says here, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Hey, I don't know where you're going, so how do we know how to get there? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Then Philip's turn to ask the question. He says, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. And then here's this profound answer. Our Lord says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Who is working in our Lord Jesus Christ to say the things he said, right? And to do the things he did? God. And then just a little sneak peek in thinking about this, who works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. God, right? Remarkable. God was working in Jesus Christ to make himself known to the world. If you saw Jesus, you saw the Father. If you knew Jesus in his heart, you knew the heart of the Father. Isn't that remarkable? And the things he spoke, he didn't speak of his own authority. He spoke what God was working in him to speak. And it's important as we keep reading that we see this beautiful context, because what he's saying, I'm the only way to God. And he's saying, I'm representing the Father to you. Isn't that cool? That's the context here. And then look at what it says here then. Verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. What a statement. But in the context, what works has he done here? What is he doing? He's making known the Father. He's making known the Father. The words he's speaking, he's not speaking on his own authority, but God is doing the work. God is doing the work through him. And our Lord Jesus Christ did many mighty works on earth, right? Both in word and also in deed, right? I think it's remarkable that in John 17, when he's praying to his Father, the testimony to his Father of his own life was, I have given them thy word. That's what he said. Isn't that remarkable? I have represented you well, God. I've given them your word. Isn't that cool? And this is what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do. He's redeemed us, certainly, and we, you know, we've talked a lot about that, but in his life here and what he's teaching them right now is he says, you see me, you see God. You'll get him. Pretty remarkable. And then that call that those truly, truly, I say to you in verse 12, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Well, gosh, what works did he do? Well, many mighty works in terms of spiritual power and other things like that. But what really was the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did? But to bring people to God, to the Father. Then it goes on in verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then it says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The me there, just, I don't want to get stuck in the weeds, but I don't believe should be there in the text. And there's a lot of reasons why I don't. So you can ask me later if you're interested. King James would say, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pretty remarkable. But what's the point? That who may be glorified? God. Who? The Father might be glorified in the Son, right? That's what he came to do. John 17, he talks about that to God. I've made you known. I've glorified your name. Now glorify me with the glory that I had with you before. You know? He made God known. And God was at work in him, God in him, and him in God, making known God. John chapter 16. Go to John chapter 16, please. We are familiar with this one. We've looked at this recently. We'll start in verse 1. It says, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. I just love that. How tender and thoughtful and just loving. Just always that good shepherd looking after his sheep. You know? Love that. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he's offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father, nor me. But I have said these things to you that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Isn't that cool? And of course, we know what that's referring to. The Helper, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Spirit, God in Christ in you, the Spirit of God. There's many names for what the Lord is talking about here. But he's saying it's to your advantage that I go so I can send the Spirit of God. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. So that we can be in this room right now, a sweet savor of Christ to God. Because every one of us filled with the Spirit of God in Christ in us. Remarkable, isn't it? Where when God gazes at you, he's not looking at you according to your works. He's not looking at you of whether you measure up or not. You're a sweet savor of Christ to him. Wow. That's awesome. That's remarkable. That's that Spirit. These men here that were sitting with him, and they had the distinct privilege of hearing the words directly from Jesus Christ and being able to sit there and enjoy his presence. But even in this moment, there are still men who are dead in their sins and not redeemed and not holy and not righteous. Remarkable. Still needing that redemption. Yeah. But there would come a day when that Spirit of God would be poured out. And it was necessary. You see how beautiful that is? That he would go away so that he could send the Spirit, so that these men's lives could be cleansed, so they could become children of the Most High God. Verse 12, go down to verse 12. It says here, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And again, I don't want to get stuck in the weeds of words, but the pronouns here, the he, she, it, it's you can use an it there. It's just they chose in the translation to use he here. It's referring to that gift of Holy Spirit. When that Spirit of truth comes, it'll guide you into all the truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak. Who does that sound like?
Jesus
Christ, right? Didn't he say that earlier? He's saying, I'm not speaking on my own authority, but the things which the Father tells me to do, that I do. Isn't that cool? And then look at this. But whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will declare to you things that are to come. Verse 14, it will glorify me, for it will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that it will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's just remarkable. The Spirit of God that would come, this comforter, this thing that would be more necessary, more to their advantage than having Jesus Christ himself there in their presence. I want you to go to Colossians, please. Really, this is like, you know, when you sit down to get something together to share on a Sunday, it's like, what don't you share? Because there's you could just read. You know, we could just read all of Colossians. We could read all of Philippians. We could, you know, it's like, where do you start? Where do you end? And there is no, I guess you start at the beginning and you read to the end, and then you start at the beginning again, read to the end. So just keep reading it. But in Colossians chapter 1, let's start actually in verse 7. But Paul is, you know, introducing himself and writing to the Colossians. And in verse 7, he's leading up to this, he's talking about how this gospel was preached and it's bearing fruit in the whole world, and it's also bearing fruit in the Colossians. And in verse 7 it says, "And just as you learned it," the gospel it's referring to, "from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit." So this guy, Epaphras, spoke the word to the Colossians, and he had then made known that the Colossians had believed to Paul and to the folks ministering with Paul. And then it says this in verse 9, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." And this is just, it just struck me that here Paul, who's invested in the things of God, invested in this gospel, hears that this area has received Christ and is walking in it, and immediately begins praying for them. And I think it's insightful to see what it is he prays for them, because these are the things that in his prayer life he's asking God to accomplish in these folks who have just received the gospel. Isn't that cool? So be a little insight into my own heart. I have now the Comforter, right? We have the Spirit of God in Christ in us, do we not? Right? And so what is it that Paul would pray for me to grow in and to progress in, right? And so here's a little insight. Look at this, verse 9. "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Isn't that cool? Because that Comforter opens the eyes, does it not? It takes what is Jesus Christ and it reveals it to them, right? Us. Verse 10, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." I want to read through this again for a minute. Listen to this again. Just try to absorb it. Sometimes it takes me at least a number of times. I'll read these like 10 times sometimes. To really get it in my heart. They hadn't stopped praying for him, asking that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. To know the will of God, to know him. "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Okay? Know him so that you can walk in manner worthy of the Lord. "Fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And then look at this in verse 11, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." And what's the purpose of that strength? "For all endurance and patience with joy." Isn't that cool? Endurance and patience with joy. We might need a little endurance and patience with joy. You know, the Lord talked about the things that can and may come to those who trust in him. Then look at this, verse 12, "giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We've been taken from one kingdom and we've been placed in the other. We're in the kingdom of his dear Son now. Go over to verse 24, please. And this is, Paul says here in verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that has been given to me for you." Okay, so he's basically saying, you know, further introducing himself, "This is what God has done in me, stewardship from God that he's given to me for you." And what's the purpose? To make the word of God fully known. Seeing a theme here? Yeah, a theme here where our Lord Jesus Christ made his Father known, right? made his father known, we too would join in that those works and greater, right? And then we'd be given the Spirit of God that would open our eyes, enlighten the heart, provide us the way to be able to do this, to be able to stand. And now here we are. Paul's talking about what God has done in him, and it's so the Word of God would be fully known. And then look at this, verse 26. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That verse just never gets old. It just does. Just never gets old. And you stop and think about that. Christ in you. And another thing to consider here, this epistle is written to the Colossian church, right? It's Christ in you, all of you. Christ in all of you, the hope of glory. That confident expectation of participating in his glory also. Christ in you, the church. Remarkable. That's the comforter. That's God in Christ in you. That's the answer to the prayer in John 17 where Jesus prays that we would be one in him and he would be in us, that we would be one in all together. You understand that? Because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that exciting? Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, just this, I just wanted to encourage and remind us this morning. This is the big deal. This is the real life. This is what we've been called to. We've become part of this. We've become part of him, and he's part of us. Understand? And there's, it's the destiny that God has for every man, woman, and child born into this world. It's what God desires for every man, woman, and child. His intention in Christ is that all would be saved and come to a knowledge of this truth. Isn't that cool? And here we are, the church, Christ in us, and we represent, we make known that Father, just like our Lord Jesus Christ made known the Father. Cool, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, go to Ephesians, please. Oh, wait, you know what? I want to keep reading a little bit more. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then look at this, verse 28. I love this. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And I just love that. It's just, you know what I love about this? Here's this, the great apostle Paul, he's speaking by revelation here, and he's not saying, he's not proclaiming himself. Who is he proclaiming here? Him. Yep. Him we proclaim. Right? Him we proclaim. Warning everyone. This is Paul's referring to his ministry now. He's warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom that we might present everyone mature in Christ. The thing I love about this is that Christ in you is the whole body. But then he's warning everyone, every individual one. Right? Because the body is made up of individuals, and each one of us has this choice to believe the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God in us and to then walk by it and mature in it. You see how beautiful that is? All right, go to Ephesians chapter 4, please. I just love seeing that connection, how God was at work in Jesus Christ. The Father was in him, he was in the Father, and he was making known God. That we, when receiving the Spirit of God, would also be able then to represent that same God by that Spirit of God in Christ in us. You see? Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about the gifts given by our Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the Spirit of God and the grace in each one of us that each one of us has. And here's a list of five that have maybe a specific, more specified purpose, but are no greater than any of the other things that the Lord has given. And in verse 11 it says, "And he gave the apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." And all of this is to the glory of God, right? Ultimately, the glory of God. It says earlier in Ephesians that church makes known the manifold wisdom of God. That church makes known the manifold wisdom of God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Remarkable. And just like our Lord represented God, made him known, now Christ in us, we represent and make him known. That's pretty, it's just beautiful. And you know, you do that by the living of your life. In Christ. You go to work in Christ. You go to school in Christ. You know, you talk to your neighbor, you're in Christ. Yeah. Go to the bathroom, you're in Christ. You know, whatever there's another verse says, "Whatsoever you do in word and deed, you do giving glory." You do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving glory. Isn't that cool? Because that's our life. That's our life. And boy, you know, sometimes some things in life may feel rather mundane, you know, in terms of the routine of getting up every morning for work and going to work and coming home, or, you know, getting up and kids woke you up again, you know, earlier than you wanted to be woken up, and, you know, whatever it might be, right? Life, it's just feels mundane sometimes, but you're in Christ. You're bringing Christ to whatever it is that you're doing. And just be encouraged to remember that, you know, and just to walk it. Let's grow up into him. Let's just keep speaking the truth and growing up into him. Until there's no more opportunity to do that, whether he comes back or we fall asleep.